Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. Book of Deuteronomy. These are the words. That's what the word means. That's the Hebrew name for this great book. Moses will be leaving us not long after these chapters we're reading now. Less than a month. And he's giving information that is very pertinent, even to these end times. Father has shown us in chapter 27, 28, 27, 12 curses, then 6 curses and 6 blessings, leaving certainly the choice up to you. Which do you want? It's according to how you live your life as to what you receive from God. And believe me, it is true. If you do according to His Word, you're going to be blessed. If you do otherwise, there are cursings there. Not a very good life. So we had gotten to chapter 29, verse 21. Let's pick it up there, if we may, word of wisdom from our Father. He had just stated those that would not, in verse 20, that would not follow his instructions, sharing the curse, that he would be blotted out his name from heaven. That means blotted out of the book of life. That means erased. You don't exist. You do not want that. You want eternal life with our loving Father. That's what you want to live for. Now, we pick it up after that statement in verse 21, chapter 29, the great book of Deuteronomy. Let's go with it. It reads, "And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law." In other words, you can count on it. Our Father does this. But it's your choice as to which side you choose. Do you choose that is good, or do you choose that is evil? Verse 22. "So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it." And these are the signs, beloved. This is how you tell where you are in relationship to our Father's plan. When you see incurable diseases, immune systems failing, and when you see people going against the grain of God's Word, then that's one of these signs. It's here. 23. "And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath." Our Father is a jealous God. You know, it's much better to be on the side in love than it is to have Him angry at you. You want to remember what He's referring to here is Mount Ebal, where He said, that's the mount that's cursed, but that's where I want my altar built. It was bare, just a bare rock. You couldn't plant anything. It wouldn't produce. But God's altar can change souls. That being the purpose thereof. But again, this is one of those things that it's your choice. That sounds very dreadful, doesn't it? Then don't go there. Let the Father know you love Him, follow Him, obey Him, and be blessed. Verse 24. "Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land?" Question. "What meaneth the heat of this great anger?" Well, the heat of His great anger is certainly not global warming. I want you to know that, coming out the gate, that the heat of His anger is for the way people lie, cheat, would go to the curse rather than to blessings of Almighty God. And when people lie to the very citizens themselves, it doesn't please our Father. Not one iota. And He keeps score. Don't ever underestimate our Father. Verse 25, then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. That's why. And again, I will remind you from the last lecture, many of the plagues from the vials, as you mentioned, you said, I'm going to take you back through Egypt again. Those are the same plagues that struck Egypt. But as I told you then, there is one that wasn't then that will be at the end. It comes from the burning sun in the heavens. Verse 26. For they went and served other gods. This is the reason. And worshiped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. You know, this is Satan's little tricks of deception. Like, how can they serve other gods? Well, Satan kind of sets himself up as God. Have you ever read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, 4 and 5? He stands in Jerusalem claiming to be God. And do you know something? Do you know what his message is? I've come to rapture you out. And many people will worship him thinking he is God. They talk about serving another God. Do you think our Father in heaven is going to be happy about that? Of course not. He's jealous. And he expects a virgin bride, not that bunch, that will be deceived by him. By the false Messiah, that is to say. Why? Well, how could we not be deceived? By reading the letter your Father has sent to you, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby you know better. Verse 27. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. So you can get set for it. Those are signs and wonders. Be ready for it. Verse 28. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land, as it is this day, and I will repeat, even as it is in this day. We have people that are letting some of our rights be taken over by governments. That, quite frankly, you can have the deed to something, but water rights and everything else, it's being infringed upon. Whereby government wants to rule what you say. It's not the government that was founded under God at this nation in the beginning. You want to kind of wake up and smell the roses and look at your Father's letter. These are signs. Signs of the time. 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things that are hidden from the eyes of the world, people that would not even give the time of day to this letter from our Father. Even little children trying to read the word, this letter that God sent us in school, are told to put it away. That's disgraceful. But that in itself is a sign of the times. But I want you to know that if you search the letter our Father has sent you, then you understand those secrets and the mysteries, for it is no mystery when, as Jesus would tell you in Mark 13, I have foretold you all things. The question is, have you read it? You know, when Jesus would be asked a question, he would say, answer many times, haven't you read? In other words, the answer is right here. Haven't you ever read it? And then he would continue to answer from what we call the Old Testament. Chapter 30 and verse 1. You want to know, and when it says, you and your children, teach your children as best you can. And let the word of Almighty God bless them rather than letting them wait around in curses. Chapter 30, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, not maybe, it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before thee, And thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Wherever you are, you have the choice. You know, our Father is so loving. Which do you choose? Do you choose the blessings or do you choose the curse? It's your baby. It's your ship. You're sailing it. Everybody is accountable. And let me tell you something coming right out the gate. You do not con God. He even knows what you're thinking. So best to be level with Him and let Him know that you love Him and that you choose the blessings and stay with them as very best you can. Verse 2. And shall return unto the Lord thy God and shall obey His voice according to all that I command thee this day. Thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. In other words, you totally belong to Almighty God. You know, you hear me say this many times is, well, I'll get around to giving my soul to God someday. And you show your ignorance of God's word. Ezekiel 18:4, God already owns all souls. They're His to do with as He chooses. To either send a blessing or a cursing. The choice is yours. And you can't blame anyone but yourself. It's so much better to love your Father, for that's what He wants from you. He wants your love. He doesn't want you hanging around listening to some religion of man traditions that make void God's word, that leads you into fields of cursing. You do not need that. Verse 3. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee. And will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. And we're coming up on something even future yet here. God has compassion. All you have to do is reach out, cry to Him, talk to Him. Let Him know you love Him. Hey, He's got time for you. Do you know why? You're His child. And God loves all of His children. Especially when they are trying to understand and to return that love and compassion to Him for His other children even. Verse 4, listen carefully. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven. Understand, it said heaven and it said of thine. That's yours, your kinfolk, your children. From thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will He fetch thee. You can read of this in the millennium chapters of God's word in Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 20 through 25, where you have the privilege and the right to go help thine, that is to say your own, that didn't quite make the cut. If they're messing up a little bit as one of God's elect, you can go get on their case. And strengthen and help them. That's what that shows you God's love. Many are you trying to teach a second chance? They didn't have a prayer of a chance coming out the gate with what's taught in this world today. If you think I enjoy saying that, you're sadly mistaken. I think it's a sin that God's word, chapter by chapter, isn't taught in every church in this land and the world. Whereby people have an opportunity to get acquainted with Almighty God and His loving character, self, instead of having to learn through cursings. Verse 5. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and He will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. That's worth looking forward to, my friend. And in the future, it will be so. And do you know something? With the blessings, it can even be so for you today. You don't have to wait. When you have God's blessings, He takes care of your problems. Those that you can't handle, He expects you to take care of the ones you can handle. I mean, God loves can-do type children. When he told Satan about Job, he said, hey, what do you think about Job? And God took every protection Job had, except his life. And he said, if you think you can have any effect on my Job, you go to it. God allowed Satan to, punish that man to the nth degree. Job never weakened. That's what you want to do. God expects you to be a can-do, get-it-done type person. That's why Job had double blessings before it was all over with. Next verse, please. Verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, that's your mind, and the heart of thy seed, that's your children's mind, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live, that's eternal life, live forever with Almighty God. That's his purpose, beloved, is to share his love. That's what he wants from you, is your love, for you to return that love. And this is, you can tell, looks, it has a Messiah connotation, because circumcision and even the writing of this was the old bloodletting. Well, because of Christ's crucifixion, there is no more bloodletting in a spiritual sense. The circumcision now is of the heart and mind, which means your thought, your thought process, your mind. The circumcision is there for both male and female, whereby the mind is clearly educated in the secrets of God's word, which is the simple truth. A child can understand it. To choose blessings instead of cursings. And that's what brings God's love forth into a family, to touch it. You know, do not think that thine, your own family, can't see the blessings of God. The blessings of God is a tremendous weapon in bringing forth truth, because people see the blessings and they want part of it. And when they begin to ask you why you're so blessed, tell them, God blesses those that love him. God blesses those that choose blessings rather than cursings. Your choice. Verse 7. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. Anytime someone touches one of God's elect or tries to do harm to one of God's elect, you can count on it. God will straighten that person out big time. Touch not mine anointed, is what our Father states. And when it's something that you can't handle yourself, he'll handle it for you. Always has, and he always will. God's word will go forth, and no person had dare better get in the way of it. There's blessings and there's cursings. You do not want to pick the cursings or have our Father on your case to bring the curses upon one that would come against God's word. Verse 8. And thou shalt return and obey. Do what? Obey the voice of the Lord and do. You've got to be a doer. Do all his commandments which I command thee this day. You know, it's too bad that none of us are perfect. Only Christ was. But you can try. And when you work at those commandments, when you work with the advice he has given you, well, how can I? That makes me nervous. Why would you be nervous about it? Choosing blessings or cursings? I don't see anything difficult about that. I would think anybody utilizing common sense would want the blessings. Well, tell me one more time, how do I get the blessings? Love him and obey him. And talk to him. Let him know that you love him. And get ready for those blessings to come. And your enemies had better wake up, because there's something headed their way also. The cursings. It's real simple. Again, simply loving our Father. Hearing his voice, that's this word, and doing it. God loves a doer. And you're going to have some people who will tell, well, it's just faith, my brother. All you've got to have is faith. You show me your faith and I'll see your works. Because if you love the Lord to the point and you have faith in Him, you cannot help but do what He would request you to do in Mark 13 to stand against the false one. You would even look forward to standing against the false one to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. We got work to do. Not some dream boom boom land in the by and by. God's word is real. Life is real. All you have to do is to return, obey His voice, hear His voice with understanding, and do it. Choose blessings and be blessed. Verse 9, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice. He'll do what? He will rejoice over thee for good, as He rejoiced over thy fathers. It's to say, for His pleasure. It gives Him, He owns everything. And it gives Him such good pleasure to be able to bless those that work with Him, that are for Him, that understand Him. How precious it is to be in that lot. Verse 10, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if you'll just listen, to keep His commandments and His statutes. Commandments are the law. Statutes are the rituals. Many of them were replaced by Jesus Christ. Education in God's word identifies them, which are written in this book of the law. If thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, you're going to have those blessings and God's going to take care of you. He'll also take care of your enemies. That's the way our Father is. Verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. In other words, it's simple. It's common sense. The secret message is not hidden from you. Not if you have the compassion that our Father expressed that He had back in verse 3. Not if you have the love that He has and request in verse 6. He's leveling with you. What He's saying is, child, I love you. Return my love. I'll take care of the enemies. Be blessed. And I'll hold the curses away from you and thine. Just love me. And be honest with me. That's what He's saying here. Okay? It's not hidden. And it's not far off. Verse 12. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? God brought it to us right here on earth. He would even ultimately, the Word would become flesh and walk among us in the Messiah. Verse 13. But the prophets such as Moses would bring this law forth, this commandment, these words. 13. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? You know, the letter is wherever it is sent. It's right here on good old earth. 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Do you understand what is required there? Do it. That means you have to work at it. You have to repeat it. It's in your mouth. You plant those seeds. You pass it along. Nothing secret about it. So simple. So blessed. So perfect. When you love Him and He returns that love to you. Verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. It's your choice. You can take eternal life and the good things in life. That's the blessings. Or you can choose evil and cursings, death. It's up to you. It's your baby. You ride it. You go with it. Your choice. And you don't have anybody to blame but yourself on Judgment Day. Because you always decide for yourself. He's done that. Don't ever forget that. I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Well, you know, how many people would actually choose death and evil? That really would rack one's mind to understand why anyone would choose death and evil. When you see people that won't even crack open the letter that God has sent us, He that created these bodies sent us this letter to say how to be happy in them, how to keep them pretty healthy, how to be wise, how to prosper. Never cracked the book. They're like these people that would buy some object and never read the instructions and start putting it together without instructions and mess up 20 times and have to tear it all apart and start all over, maybe finally picking up the instructions and reading them. These are the instructions to life and good. Have you ever read it? It's important that you do. But some would choose to go away from God's word, and they choose death in many ways. Many, many ways. How sad. How very sad. 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Beloved, this holds true even to this day. You've got to know the difference between the law, the statutes, and the judgments, or you'll always be confused about God's law. You'll even have some Bible thumpers coming along and say, the law's been done away with, and that's a lie. Many of the statutes, which are rituals, have been done away with. They were fulfilled on the cross. But the judgments are either reward or punishment. And you got to know the difference in those three things. That is God's law. Or you'll be bumping your head against the brick wall all your life trying to learn the difference. Maybe some Bible thumper misleading you and taking you down Primrose Lane. When God said, I've set before you this day an open door. Life and good. And death and evil. It's right there for you. Anyone with responsibility can partake thereof. 17. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. If you're going to listen to a bunch of nonsense. 18, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, which whither thou passeth over Jordan to go to possess it. They're at the head of the Dead Sea, ready to cross over. 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, so that your children are happy, so your children can live. You know, many might say, well, my children do this. No, we're talking eternal here, beloved. Do you want to be in heaven blessed forever and your children go to hell? You're going to miss them. Well, you really won't, because they're just blotted out. But don't you want them with you? That's why you want to make sure that you plant those seeds as best you can and show the simplicity of life or death. It's entirely up to the individual. I do not want to put the monkey on a parent's back. You just live the example and set it forth. Don't worry, they're watching you. And when you have the blessings, they're going to want a part. Be gentle. Verse 20. That thou mayest love, what is it he wants? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. And that thou mayest obey his voice. That's love and obey. And that thou mayest cleave unto him. That you can hold him. Hold to him. For he is thy life. And the length of thy days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And he did, and he has. And he has spread the children of Israel over the Caucasus Mountains, becoming the Caucasians then of Europe and Canada, America, Christian nations basically, the 10 tribes, 10 northern tribes. And our father, Jacob, Isaac. That promise that was made. This nation is blessed for a reason. It's not an accident. Again, you've heard me say many times, if you doubt it, reach in your pocket, get a coin. In God we trust. And why do you think we pledge the allegiance to the standard, which is the flag of this great United States of America? Because it's a nation under God. It was founded under God. So choose. What God wants from you is your love. He doesn't want your burnt offerings. That's done away with. He wants your love. And if you want to be blessed, and if you want eternal life, you'll return that love. Hosea 6:6 is your documentation. I do not want your burnt offerings. I want your grace, which is to say mercy, love. Unmerited, God wants it. See? So, let him know today. It pays great dividends. It's no secret. It's open to you. Choose rightly. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment. Won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's Word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Haman Gog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it. The book of Ezekiel.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, church, or organization. We don't judge people. Do you know why we don't have to? Because God does. God is our judge. He does a fantastic job of it. All you have to do is love and follow Him. It is true that you should discern to stay away from false teaching. But don't judge them. That's their problem. You only sail your own ship, make your own decisions, and set a good example for thine. Okay? And you'll do just right. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always good to hear from you. Got a prayer request? You can do away with that number. You can do away with the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. You know, He's that close to you that you don't even have to say it out loud. He reads your mind. He's a cardio knower, knows your heart. And you can't, that's why we can't con him. So don't ever get foolish thoughts in your mind that you could deceive him. You couldn't. He would laugh at you. Okay. Be honest with him and let him know you love him for all that he has done for us. And he sets that open door there for you. Walk on through it and let him know with open arms that you love him. And he'll certainly return that love. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Jimmy from Wisconsin. Where in the Bible does it say, spare the rod and spoil the child? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. If you don't hate your child, you will not spare the rod. Okay. And so naturally, there is correction. That goes also, if you love your child, you're going to correct them with the rod. But that, you know, a lot of people just love your enemy. And some of these Bible thumpers will say, you're supposed to love everyone. Well, you may have to get the rod after them. You know, if it's an enemy that's trying to destroy your people, you may have to get a 2x4, a shotgun, or a cannon. Okay. Or maybe a missile. But you got to correct them, to give them an attitude adjustment. And that's real love. Okay. Straightening them out where they have eternal life instead of hell bound. It's real easy. Okay, David from California, thank you for teaching the actual true words of the Bible. You are so welcome. My question is, does it mention anywhere in the Bible divine intervention? If so, where is it at? Well, probably one of the main things for the saints, which the word saint simply means set aside, it's God's elect. You'll read it in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. He says to you there, you don't even know what to pray for. That's why I intercede in your life. I foreordained you. Foreordination means I chose you from before, actually from the first earth age. If you want to know the truth about it, that's a big step for some people. But you'll find it there in Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 26 through about 30. There are many other places that divine intervention takes place, but that's one of the main places for God's elect. May and Larry from Georgia. What does the name Jeremiah mean in the Hebrew tongue? Whom Yah raises up. Whom Yah, or we could say whom God raises up. But we have to use the sacred name, Jeremiah being translated, whom Yah raises up. And God did raise Jeremiah up. God says in the first chapter of Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I knew you before you ever entered your mother's womb. In other words, the first earth age, he was with him. And while you were in your mother's womb, I made you a prophet. See, he knew he had the right stuff because he knew him from before. The generation of the fig tree, are we living in it counted as the days of men or the days of God? They're days of men, a generation. Okay, there. That means the generation of the fig tree from 1948 to whenever that generation ends. But that means soon. And thank you. I appreciate your comment. Valerie from Nevada, please explain the four horsemen that is talked about in the Bible. Also, one of the horsemen, or one of the horsemen here on earth today. No, is there not? The first horseman, as you will read in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, is the Antichrist. Why is he the first? Because for the Christian, it's most important that you know the Antichrist comes first. The Jesus Christ himself, it's all the way to the 19th chapter when that white horse which he rides comes in. But naturally, Satan's a fake. And he is one of the first seals. That's one of the first things you have to learn. Then comes famine, war, and so forth. It all falls in place. But that first horseman, the Antichrist, It's important that you know he comes first. He even appears to have this rainbow about him, only the word in the Greek is toxon, and it means a cheap fabric imitation. He's a fraud. Sue from Nevada, I have heard some people say the 10 tribes and some say the 12 tribes. Would you explain? Well, there were 12 tribes. As we were studying, God took the 12 tribes and put 12 curses before them if they didn't get their act right. But the history is that the 10 northern tribes were taken captive by the Assyrian. And the Assyrian, taking those 10 tribes captive, took them north. They would later ultimately go over the Caucasus Mountains, called Caucasians, settling Europe. Where did they come from? Those 10 tribes. God promised they would become as numerous as the sands of the sea and stars of heaven. Where are they today? Right here. They went over. They were called Caucasians. They settled Europe and Canada, the Americas. And God blesses them. Why? They're his tribes. They're the people that carry forth the Messiah, the teachings of the Messiah. The other two remained until they were taken captive 200 years later. I repeat, 200 years later, by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And so it is. But there are 12 tribes. Sherry from Nevada, thank you for preaching and teaching God's word. You're welcome. I value the truth that you speak. This is why I am coming to you for guidance. I do not currently attend a church, but I wish to pay tithes. How do I know where to pay tithes to, or their rules? It's real simple, where you're taught, okay? Because, well, why would you pay tithes where you're taught? To keep the word coming to you. To keep the teachings coming to you. That's just, if no one ties to where they were taught, then that would dry that ministry up. So, naturally, it is well that you can give love offerings to anybody you choose, but you always tithe where you're taught. Noel from Pennsylvania, should we be worried about 12/21/2012? Absolutely not. Christians don't have to worry about anything. God blesses us. He gives us life. And he's going to let the end come. It won't be by that Mayan calendar necessarily. It'll be when our Father wishes it to be. And that makes us happy. We're ready and we'll keep plowing till that day comes. Jaira from Tennessee. What chapter and verse does it talk about the churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia? I was confronted by a person who insisted their religion was the only religion going to heaven. Well, unfortunately, you have more than one that teaches that, and that's false. You know, St. John chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 16 says, God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe upon him should not perish but have eternal life. That means go to heaven. He didn't mention any specific church there. He said, whomsoever. So a church is a job of teaching, but an individual decides whether they go to heaven or not. You know why? Today's lecture is really a good one to nail that home. It's according to whether, regardless of what church the person attends, whether they choose life or death. Okay, it's up to the individual. Smyrna and Philadelphia were the only two churches out of seven that taught truth that Christ was pleased with. You will find Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Excuse me, and Philadelphia in chapter 3, verse 9. That'll make it kind of easy for you. But the important thing is what did those two churches teach that was alike and that pleased Christ? They taught who the Kenites were that claimed to be of our brother Judah and are the synagogue of Satan. Okay. It's important for you to know Satan's children because that's where Satan will appear as false Christ. And what is taught, naturally, the key of David. And when you have the key of David, that's the genealogy of the true Messiah. The fake's not going to deceive you. Bob from Massachusetts. Pastor Murray, do you think the Kenites are African Americans? Absolutely not. No. The African Americans, the Africans were created on the sixth day with all the races, and God looked and it was good. The Kenites were cursed coming out from beginning, as we know in their genealogy how unhappy God was with them, the first murderer. And he tells you who their father was in St. John chapter 8, verse 44. Bobby from Texas, I would like information on the first earth age and how to obtain it. Well, you can dig it out of the Bible yourself if you have one of our companion Bibles, Appendix 146, from the Foundations of the World. That will help you. But I have a tape titled, or a CD titled, The Three Earth Ages. And if you want my help with it, you would order naturally that particular tape or CD. And it would document from the Word of God the three earth ages. You see, there is no conflict between science and God's Word about how old this earth is. It's millions of years old. What does Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. It did not say when. In verse 2, the Hebrew is tohu vabohu, which is to say, the earth was not created void without form, but the earth became void and without form. Why? Satan rebelled, and God destroyed the first earth age rather than destroying a third of his children. And that's why it's so very important. It takes the blinders off of the Christian and lets you understand better the Word of God to know. This is why it's written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, teachings of Christ through Paul. I chose you before the foundations of this world, meaning the aeon, the time, age, first earth age, in other words. Sarah from Arizona, where in the Bible can I find the Antichrist and what to look for? Well, you can find him in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, and in Luke 21, where Christ says, not maybe the false Christ will come, but the false Christ will come. And certainly what you're supposed to do against it. Also, the false Christ, if you know, understand the book of Revelation, in 13:18, his number is 666, meaning he appears at the sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth vial. That's 666. Well, how can I be sure of that? Well, read the sixth seal. It's the appearance of Antichrist. Read the sixth trump, the appearance of Antichrist. Sixth vial, appearance of Antichrist. 777 is the true Christ. Six always comes before seven. A child can understand that. Diane from Iowa, I have a daughter that won't have anything to do with me because her minister told her not to. Is that right? Also, is there a sign from Revelations what it says, mother against daughter and father against son? Well, it's not Revelations, darling. It's Mark 13 and Matthew 24 I just stated it from. I am so sorry that a minister would tell a daughter not to have anything to do with the mother. I've got a feeling that probably because you study with me, that you know why he asked her not to talk to you? Because he knows that truth would bring her out of his bullpit, probably. I'm not judging him. I don't know anything about his church. I don't have to judge him when he tells a daughter not to talk to her mother. If he was a true Christian, he would have told his daughter to try to convert her mother. That's the way of Christians. That's the mark of a Christian. But to annihilate and to forbid is a cult. So just live the life, be strong, and ask for the blessings of God. And your daughter will soon see through this man. Sounds like she's listening to a man instead of God in the first place, but be that as it may, it sounds like a bad one. A cult will deny people the right to listen and be open. And a true Christian would tell the daughter, as I stated, to teach the mother the truth as they would see it. Kevin from North Carolina, is it possible if a woman owes you money that she is going to heaven, or does she need to rectify it by paying the money back? Everybody's got to be responsible, but I'm not going to judge whether the woman goes to heaven or hell or whatever, okay? That's God's business, not ours. But, Kevin, you should learn one thing. Don't loan her any more money, okay, until she returns what has been taken, and so forth. Geraldine from I don't know where they, probably Alabama, I'm going to say. Are there any female angels? Well, darling, all women are angels. All females are angels, okay? And there are definitely, as it is written in the New Testament, I'll pull from there, that they do not give nor do they take in marriage because they are all as the angels, both male and female. You see, there are three different bodies, and this is not taught, rarely ever. But there was a body in the first earth age, there is a body in this earth age, and there is a body in the eternal earth age. And the flesh body will be a thing of the past. But the flesh body looks exactly as we do in the spiritual body. But they neither give nor take in marriage in the eternal body because there's something far greater and far better. And God never takes anything away. He doesn't give something a lot better. Trinity from California. Do you have a running catalog of the different tapes and books of the Bible that are available? Thank you. Yes. Call and request a mailing list, or if you've never had the Mark of the Beast, a free tape, order it, and one will be a tape catalog would be sent to you. We have all the entire Bible on tape or CD or DVD, and or you can listen as we teach it, and it's all yours. Louise from Florida. Why do bad things happen when you are doing things right? Well, because Satan and his evil spirits, or their spirits, can traverse this earth if you allow it. But, you know, as it is written in Luke chapter 10, verses 19, Christ gave you power over all enemies, evil spirits, scorpions, the whole smack. So, in his name, don't put up with it. Okay. Now, at the same time, God doesn't expect us to be a hothouse lily. Okay. We live in a world that is troubled. And you've got to educate yourself how to take care of trouble. And that you can't take care of, God will take care of it for you. But he will expect you to take care of that you can handle. But you've got to do it by using the power that God has invested in you. Again, Luke 10, start reading about verse 18. I'll be helped Satan fall as a star from heaven because his spirits are here. Donald, he's coming physically when Michael boots him out, but evil spirits are here now. For every negative, there's a positive. We have the Holy Spirit here and we have evil spirits. We have power over all of our enemies, including evil spirits. Donald from Oklahoma. Where did Jesus go during his 3 days in the tomb? You want to read from the Bible itself to find out. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. He went back to all the people that were in paradise that had died, all the way back to the beginning, and gave them the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ after the price was paid on the cross. Why? Because our Heavenly Father is fair to all His children. He treats them the same. And when you continue reading on into the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, you'll find he was very successful. He freed many of the captives. Sid from Washington, question, if the government takes 30% of my earnings and God requires 10%, does that mean the government thinks they are bigger than God? Maybe you've got something there. I think maybe you have a lot there. You know, in the beginning, the church was the government. And 10% took care of widows, Social Security, the whole smash. And now, we kind of get ripped a little bit, but we also have to remember God. Thanks, Sid. Good comment. Sonia from Maryland, or Missouri, I guess. Missouri. Question, pertain to the end time and when that will be. You mentioned the season and this generation. Do you mean my generation? I'm 48 years old. The generation of the fig tree was set in motion in the year of our Lord, 1948, when Israel became a nation again, as so recorded in Jeremiah chapter 24, and I am out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. But most of all, God loves you for it. It's the letter He sent to you. And it makes His day when you study that Word. You make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless Him again. He'll always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me good. You stay in His Word every day. And His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here